Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever, and then we talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by Mr.
Ben Errington.
Mr. Ben Errington. How's it going, Mr. Ben Errington?
It's very well, Mr. Luke Condor. How the devil are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I think I've got my water. Cat's left like an apple core on the desk here.
You can just gnaw on that while I'm talking.
Yeah.
Any point. I've got nothing to eat here. Well, actually, I do have some soft multivitamins, Bassetts, but for adults.
You can suckle on one of those if you're feeling a bit dry.
Raspberry and pomegranate.
Nice.
I'm gonna suckle on one right now.
Good.
You can't stop me.
I'm gonna suckle on this apple core. So yeah, apologies for the missing episode last week. We were a tad busy. We don't really talk about this much, but me and Ben like to make stuff, and it's a comic book that we launched. If you want to check it out, go to hawkandcleaver.com and check out the comic section. The comic is called El Marvo, and it's out. And that's why we weren't here last week. So sorry about that.
But, slacking.
I know, yeah. So, I just want to quickly mention Andy Conduit Turner, if I can pronounce his name right, Andy CT, made a little piece of like grading software. He's like a magician with numbers, and he whizzed together, summoned this software that sort of
summoned the software.
Yeah, he did a summon. And so, me and Ben have not been keeping track of like what we've been grading these films, and Andy has apparently, and he's sort of worked it out so we can see what the average rating is, what my average rating is, what Ben's is, what our worst film is, what our best film is. So
comparing, we've got the ratings for Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb on there as well, so we can see where we kind of fall in the average.
So I will tell you, I am more positive than Ben. But my average grade is a B, and Ben's is a B minus. So we're pretty much on the same level. Do you know what our favorite film has been yet? Which is weird, because I don't feel like this is, but it's probably just because we were both feeling this one.
What was our favorite?
Yeah.
I think I know this. I think I've already looked. Was it Poltergeist?
It is Poltergeist. That was our favorite, our combined favorite. What was our combined least favorite?
Oh, combined least favorite.
Yeah. I think it's two at a draw.
Two that are a draw. Is it The Devil Rides Out and one of the Draculas? Right.
No. It's Bride of Frankenstein and the 1931 Dracula, which is weird because I preferred that one to the Hammer one.
That's strange.
Yeah, I prefer the Bela Lugosi one.
Did I just hammer it?
You tanked it. You dragged it into the deep. Okay.
Yeah. So you're more positive, but only just about. See, if you were like B and I came out as average in C, I think I'd be like there are issues. But I'm only on a B minus. So
yeah.
despite I'm the like, fact that I'm clearly...
The glass is half full. You're like, not quite.
This glass is full of piss.
Yeah, not quite half full. Okay, so last week we did a Don't Look Now, which has still been 2 weeks ago we did Don't Look Now. Still been on my mind. I still think it is a great film. I really enjoyed that one.
Have you been walking down the street and seen any children in a little
I've
red
seen
light?
Lot of children, yeah. I think there's quite a few of them in the world. I see them all the time. Yeah.
Have you seen anyone like turned one around to see if it's
turned a lot around. Everyone I see now, if any of them are facing the wrong way, I like to flip them around just to make sure that they're not like a midget of a cleaver.
Oh, you're not a midget of a cleaver. Oh, this one is. What percentage is there? What percentage are they a small person with a cleaver?
25%. And the parents are normally the ones that the other 75%. The parents are a little bit miffed that I'm spinning their children around to ask if they're a dwarf.
To be fair, if they're just miffed, you're doing all right. If they're just miffed.
Happens like, more often than you think. A lot of parents are like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I understand. I do it too. A lot of them are like,
now,
A lot of them are like, Nicholas Rogue, classic.
classic. Yeah. High five, yeah. Restoring them churches, man. Woo!
Okay, so this week we are doing number 32 on the list. We have nearly done 20. What a cool project this has been. So today we're talking about Let the Right One In, the 2008 original. And do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yes, indeed. Okay, so Let the Right One In is a 2008 Swedish romantic horror film directed by Thomas Alfredson, based on the 2004 novel of the same name, by John Alvgard Lindqvist.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good, I think. Yeah. I've got that book as well, actually. I think I read it, but a while ago. The film tells the story of a bullied 12-year-old boy who develops a friendship with a vampire in Blackaberg, a suburb of Stockholm, in the early 1980s. I didn't quite get that this film was a 1980s set film.
No. Let's ignore that because I've got some trivia based on it. But I thought it was like 60s sort of a...
Did you?
Yeah, because the TVs are like... Maybe I think maybe 70s actually, like early
70s. I thought maybe like, because this was 2008. I thought maybe like early 2000s or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but they had like, if you look at the fashion, did you just think those backwards Swedish people?
Those bloody backwards like, Swedish people with their
CRT
fashion,
TVs and their.
Obviously,
flares.
They're 40 years behind us. I don't know. I just thought, because it was quite like a, as we say, it's a suburb of Stockholm. I thought it was just like a, just sort of a quiet area of Stockholm.
That you were thinking.
The third world with their TVs and Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Rubik's Cube. That's quite a big giveaway, actually.
I just thought it was a throwback, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You can never believe it. One of them had a fidget spinner, definitely. One of them had a fidget spinner. They're bang up to date.
Yeah.
One of them had Pogs, another one had Pokemon cards. It was confusing for me. I was like, where the hell is this film set?
Football stickers. I know what you mean. Okay, so this is what the smart people over at Empire have to say. We all know children are terrifying. That is true, as we've discussed this already. But Let the Right One In take spooky kids and made them almost too relatable for comfort. Simply trying to survive like countless vampires before her, Ellie strikes up a bittersweet friendship with a social pariah, Oscar, offering him salvation from his less than ideal home situation. It's based on the... I'm going to give it a go. John Alvgard Lindqvist's bestseller set in Stockholm. It's not just the threat of being offed by a vampire that makes this an incredibly effective Scandi scare fest, with themes of loneliness, anxiety, and alcoholism helping it slip effortlessly into your bloodstream. It's no surprise Hollywood clamoured for a remake. This has got 98% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Guess what it got on IMDb?
Whenever you ask me that, I don't know what to do. 7.6 8.
It's got so you know it's a fucking great film if you've got 8.
I mean, if it's got 7.8, that's next level.
Okay, so our Facebook group guys, Andy said, I don't know, I asked him something, I've just got Andy said same here, the remake was a great movie in its own right, but I've not seen the original. Michael Mayunda said the original is really good, both versions are great. If you like the remake, you're most likely really like the original. Tommy Draper said, I've not seen all of the remake, but love the original. Have you seen the remake?
Yeah, I have seen the remake. Just the once. It's directed by the dude who does like World of the Planet of the Apes, and he's going to do the new Batman. Matt Reeves,
yeah,
possibly.
That's right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that must have been one of his early films. I don't know if he did anything before that. I think it's good. I think it's a solid remake. Obviously, I think it's because the level of the actors you got involved. So you got Chloe Moretz and is it that Asa Butterfield? Is it him? Maybe it's someone who looks like him. There's a couple of kids.
He's got like milky skin.
Milky skin, yeah. Semi-skimmed.
Yeah.
So I think it's the level. The actors are really good in that. So that kind of carried it a little bit. But
had you seen this one before watching this time?
Yes.
So you've seen both?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw this before I saw the remake. And then this is the first time I've gone back to this since watching the remake.
And you've read the book, potentially.
And I'm pretty sure I read the book. It's on my shelf. I can see it, and it's got like the spine. The spine looks used.
Yeah.
The spine looks folded.
Spina bifida.
So either I looked through it quite rigorously, or I actually read it.
Yeah. I bought the book for my sister for a Christmas present. I haven't read it myself. I've only seen the remake a few years ago, and I remember thinking, yeah, it's quite good, but for whatever reason, it didn't like resonate with me. I just thought it was a good film. This time I watched it and I was like, wow, that's a good film. Like it just, I don't know if I'm just watching this at the right time. You know, you can never step through the same river twice and all that. But I just found this one, watching it this time, I was like enthralled. Like the last film on this list that has had me this way was The Skin I Live In. When I was just watching it completely invested and just completely sucked into the story.
Totally there.
Yeah,
there are loads of bits in this film that I kind of had to rewind and like rewatch.
Yeah,
because I think there's a lot of subtle moments that you don't necessarily, you kind of think, oh, did I just see this? And then you kind of like have to go back and watch it again. A few weird moments like this that made my skin crawl.
There's stuff in this one that isn't in the remake that I really liked in this version, like the cats and some other bits, like not in the remake.
I can't remember the remake massively well.
Yeah.
In order to make a direct comparison, but it might be a good one to go and watch again. Yeah. Seeing as I know it's not a pile of doodah.
Yeah. What are your impressions of this one? Your overall initial smell?
I mean, this film's amazing. I think there's everything that comes with it. The vibe, the kind of just that uneasy feel. I mean, like the romance elements are fine, aren't they? Like, because I always find in like films like this, in like horror films or films that are a bit, when the romance sort of happens, especially between the two main characters, it can feel a little bit like I don't really care about the romance. I kind of would rather just feel. But the way this is presented, the romance is presented as so innocent. That it is that the innocent side to what is essentially a very, very dark story. And I think those two sides bounce off each other very well. The light and the dark. And you know, it is a very, you know what I mean, it's a very creepy film.
Yeah.
And you know, it's got bullies in it who it's got some bullies, but you can really like go, oh, I'm gonna have
you. And they've got like a proper flick knife as well at the end.
Proper little bully bastard. Yeah. And these bullies, you know, they get a comeuppance, which is fantastic in any film.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons this film works so well is the kid who plays Oscar is really you can't help but kind of want him to win something, like get like a little win in there. Even when he batters that kid in the head, I was like, well done.
And like with a long whippy stick.
Yeah, like a cane or something.
Also, this film is like a lot of what you don't see that kind of works well. A lot of stuff sort of happens in the shadows, or a lot of stuff happens off screen, where you kind of just see the reactions of other people, or you see like the something else, sort of what happens afterwards. I think that's really well. That's done really sparingly.
Yeah.
And the film knows when to show you something and when not to show you it.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, because you don't feel like the gore is overdone. Like when you see blood in this film, I feel like it's really, like the color palette of the film, when you see blood and it looks really like black.
Yeah.
And
it's
really quite shocking most of the time when you see someone sort of like bleeding. That's the thing. Even though there is a lot of gore, it ends up on someone's face or whatever. You don't always see like the like someone's neck getting ripped out or something.
Apparently the remake was a lot more gory, and I don't really remember, but apparently the remake took the goriness to the next level.
Yeah, I don't think I remember either.
I don't remember.
But I'm just going to double check the actor in thing. I think it was Asa Butterfield. But yeah, so that was 2010. So it was only 2 years late. 2 years later, they decided to remake that.
That's quick. That's then to say we want to do this and then do it so quickly.
Yeah, the actor is that Cody Smith McPhee, the one from The Road.
Yeah.
Milky Skin. Always get him and Asa Butterfield mixed up.
Who's Asa Butterfield? Similar. Have you made some?
No, Asa Butterfield is the actor who is in the film Hugo, and he's the lead in Ender's Game. Well, one of the lead.
Oh, okay.
All pretty awful. But if you looked at these guys side by side, you'd go, they're similar, milky face, floppy haired,
blue eyes. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I said, the actors. But, I mean, that's not to say the actors in this. I mean, the actors in this film are great as well. They've cast Eli really well. As she's like real otherworldly, strange.
Well, so there's a few times when I was watching it with Kat, and we like looked at each other and like saying, "Is some sort of special effects going on with her face?" Because I'm sure her face like seems to morph every now and again. Like,
this is some of the stuff I needed to rewind.
Yeah.
So it seems that when she's either just about to feed, her face like looks a bit old, almost like. We're assuming, as she's a vampire, we're assuming that she's a certain, she's pretty old. We don't know if she's hundreds of years old or just like a few decades.
Yeah.
But when she's like hungry, it kind of like shows the true sort of age.
Her eyes seem to like get that sort of Gollum quality. It seems to like grow and bulge. And
yeah, and then it'll cut away and it'll cut back and it's like,
but it's so subtle, and you think, did I see that? Or, yeah, it's like, it's really nicely done. So should we get into the story?
Yeah, should we talk about the major players?
The major players. So Kara Hedebrandt plays Oscar, who's a sort of weedy, down on his luck kid, with like a blonde mullet. He's kind of weird.
blonde mullet. He's got like a hair helmet, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
He's got a classic hair helmet.
Yeah.
Classic Swedish blonde helmet.
Lena Leanderson plays Ellie, or Eli. Is it Ellie? I was reading it as Ellie on the subtitles, but...
I was reading it as Eli.
Okay. But... so she is the sort of next-door neighbor vampire girl, the girl next door who eats people. She's kind of spooky, could be super ancient. We have no idea, really. She's got this, like, In the plot later on, there's like an egg. She's got an egg on the table. Apparently, it's worth a lot of money. Very nice Fabergé sort of egg.
That's something you reading out in the initial stage of this review.
Yeah.
She's a vampire girl. She lives next door to someone. She's got an egg.
Throwaway moment as well.
Such a throwaway moment. But we're gonna make this integral to the review. She has a Fabergé egg. Don't forget that, because that is gonna come up again later. Let's remember it.
Okay, so I've not got the other cast members written down, but there's the mum, Oscar's mum, who we barely see, and I think that's like part of how that works. There's his dad, who we barely see. There's a group of bullies at the school. There's like three or four of them, and one's got a big brother. I should know the cast members for this, but I haven't got it written down. But don't worry about it. Just trust me.
Eli's got like a carer /
Hacken. His name is
Hacken.
Pronounced, yeah.
He was good, yeah.
Now, so do you reckon that's her father, or do you think that's some sort of familiar?
Like, no, I don't reckon it's her father. I reckon that's too easy for it to be her father. I reckon it was. So I reckon, taken away from this film, he was once someone like Oscar.
Yeah, I was getting the same vibe.
Another little boy, maybe at some point, and obviously they've fallen in love or whatever at some point. But then he's grown and she hasn't, so they've had to keep moving around the country, and he sort of goes out and gets her a lovely bit of blood from the local from the local spa.
Yeah,
got your pint of blood, Eli. Oh,
so we start. I think there's the various scenes to sort of set up Oscar and how like meek he is. The where they live, it's like a little like a council estate sort of thing. There's some like council flats. There's like a whole little community of adults there who are all sort of failures in one way or another. There's like a drunk guy. I mean, there's two drunk guys. There's a woman who sleeps around. There's a guy who's just stays inside with all his cats.
Why would you say she sleeps around?
Does she not sleep around? That's the vibe I got.
Did you just get the vibe from her, or was it confirmed? Because if you're just judging people based on...
I don't know why I thought that. Maybe.
Do you sleep around or something? I'm just trying to have a quiet beer here, please, mate.
Yeah. And then so Oscar's like, and he also goes to school. It's a pretty boring looking standard school. Backwards, Ben might say, but with the way they're old
backwards,
school bells.
Backwards and set in 2001 or something, you know?
Yeah.
Not the 80s.
So we pretty much open with him looking out the window. He's like naked for some reason. He's a bit of a weird kid. Like, this is his favorite pastime. He stares.
He is a bit of a weird kid. However, we have definitely all done that before. Stood looking at a reflection naked.
Finger in your belly button. Just having a look.
I really wonder where you're going to go with that.
And then, someone looks up and you just have to wave, because what else can you do? If you walk away at that point, it is confirmed that you were staring at him.
It's like that moment when I'm walking past a car and there's like a parked car, and I'll think, oh, just check my hair out in that in that reflection, and then your eyes focus and there's just someone in there looking back at you. Like, what are you doing? And I just go, good day.
It doesn't happen to me much anymore with the hair situation.
Me neither, Luke, but maybe I'm just like I'm adjusting my hat. Maybe it's like the wind's taking it off.
Yeah.
I'm adjusting my hat or the eyebrows. You can check the eyebrows now and again.
I need to start doing that, because some of these hairs are trying to escape my face. They're like reaching out.
Sometimes I'll be like driving or something, and there'll be like an eyebrow hair hanging down like that, and it's ever so annoying.
It's trying to make you crash. It's become possessed.
Possessed eyebrow hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oscar. I mean, he's flexing in the reflection of himself, and I mean, he's just. He's practicing almost what he's going to say to a bully at school. Like, this is him. This is him doing his taxi driver moment.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, going, I'm hard and you don't want
to
mess with me.
Talking to me.
Yeah. Because he doesn't see anyone else here.
Yeah. that's him when he's looking out at the neighbors and stuff. And we just get an idea that he's sort of outside. Well, he's inside looking out at people, at the adults, and the sense that he's just an outsider. And then at school, he gets bullied. They call him a pig. I noticed that. The bullies kept calling him a pig. And, like, I figured maybe that's something there. Like, maybe that's something to do with him being food, of which all the others were, like, are essentially food for vampires. Oscar, he's also got a knife. And he likes to stab trees. And he has, like, a newspaper cutout collection. He's sort of very interested in... serial killers, and he's got like various collections of them, and he's sort of interestingly enough, Stephen King used to do that as well. He used to have like a serial killer cutout collection. He was very interested.
Oh, really?
So maybe Oscar just wants to write scary books. Who knows?
He just wants to be old Steve, doesn't he?
Yeah. So one night, Oscar is out stabbing a tree as per usual, and he's calling it like a dick or something. Come on.
You're such a dick, you tree. I'm just stood here, mate. I'm just trying to be a tree over here. Abbott.
Squeal for me. I think he's basically taking out his frustration on the bullies at school on this poor, defenseless tree. And then we get our first introduction to Ellie or Eli. And she's sort of watching him from the top of this climbing frame. What did you think of the introduction to her?
Yeah, it's pretty good, because obviously it was snowing and it was we're made to see it's winter, but she's just chilling in her gym jams.
Bare
feet as well, and obviously she says that she's moved into an apartment next door with an older man. Weird. And then doesn't she say to Oscar that they can't be friends? Like, they have a little chat, and then she goes, "We can't be friends, mate." I'll be like, "Oh, big head."
She kind of floats down as well. She's on top of the climbing frame, and Oscar talks to her, and she just. Sort of glides down to immediately. I'm thinking, if I was Oscar, I'd be like, that's a vampire. Like, immediately,
you're a vampire, you are. Yeah. Well, Jesus, give me a chance. Yeah. I haven't had a chat yet.
So, and then is this when he shows her the Rubik's Cube? He's like saying, this is me, this is my little toy. Would you like to play my little toy?
I think they have a few okay. sort of interactions though. We see a few interactions, and one of the interactions, he shows her the brand new, up to the minute, hip thing for kids to have.
Yeah.
It's a Rubik's Cube, the original fidget spinner.
yeah.
She sort of tells him how to do it as well, doesn't she? Or does he tell her how to do it?
He shows her how the game works, but then she goes and like finishes it. She said it's easy.
That does mind how people do that. Oh, look, I'll show you how to do this. Oh, no, they're an expert, are they? Oh, great, wish I never showed you now.
yeah. It's my game.
This is my football. I'm taking this home.
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
And then, so I think we introduced the Haken, who's her, like the older man who lives with him, lived with her. He's kind of an odd guy. He likes to sit and read newspapers. We don't really know what their relationship is. I think that's part of the sort of what makes it quite interesting. So at what point do we realize that he's feeding her? Or
I think there's a few more scenes where we see sort of, there's one where Eli sort of asks Oscar about a cut he's got on his cheek, and he says, and obviously that he's being bullied by classmates.
Yeah.
She sort of says he's got to start standing up for himself. Then we start seeing him doing a little bit of weight training.
Starts pumping iron.
We get to see his training montage, which lasts just one scene. So we can see that
a montage of one shot.
just one scene montage.
Yeah.
What a single rep.
Yeah.
One rep, and then everyone goes, bloody ass, you've done enough.
Done.
I usually think that. I think once you've done one rep, you've got to think, that's probably enough.
You looked a bit young to be doing weight training. I thought it stunted your growth if you did it before puberty.
Did it? Well,
yeah.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't.
maybe that's true. I don't know. I think I've just made it up.
Such a bloody growth, mate. Yeah. That's what? And I think it's around this point we sort of see that Haken, he goes out around, what's the name of the area again? Well, it's in Stockholm, isn't it?
Blackbrook or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but he looks like he's in a park area, but it looks like it's quite busy because there's a lot of people running past and stuff.
Yeah.
And then doesn't someone come up to him? So he asked him the time or something?
Well, yeah, so he, some random guy comes up to ask him for the time or something like that, and then he sprays him in the face or something.
He's got some sort of thing that goes over their face.
Some sort of gas. He's got like a whole little toolkit. He's got like a gas mask type of job.
So he's probably an expert at this. He probably, when he started doing it, he didn't do that. And now he's got these methods which are like taking people out with minimal fuss, minimal sort of disruption, not alerting people nearby. Yeah. And then he gets this guy and hangs him upside down from a tree.
And the idea is he's going to stick him like a pig. I kept seeing that sort of whole thing coming into it. So he's going to bleed him out. And I think he gets so far, but then some passers-by are walking the dogs or something.
Oh, yeah. Real annoying dog just comes over, doesn't it? Doesn't fuck off.
What could you do in that situation, though?
I would never condone kicking a dog, but I think if
he kicked it, it would just bark and it would just...
Maybe. I'm not condoning kicking a dog. I'm just saying, this guy who's just killed a man, I mean, if he's killed a man, why stop there? Why not give the dog a kick?
I don't know if I'd... I would pick up a,
no, you
pick
would.
Up a, pick up a stick.
Oh, yeah, good
throw
idea.
It. Easy.
Yeah, I wouldn't kick it, Luke. Come on.
not all dogs respond that way. Some dogs will just look at you like you're a twat if you're trying to throw a stick.
If you try and boot it.
Yeah.
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 I'm obsessed with kicking it, sorry.
So basically he's foiled. And then these people, they find the strung up body, and it becomes a big thing in the town and the newspapers. Who killed this guy in such like a weird sort of way? I really liked the whole idea of him going out and hunting in this, and just how practical and... Like, I don't think we really see a familiar go out and trying to bleed out a human to get all the blood and stuff. It's quite an interesting take.
Yeah. He was pretty good at it as well, I thought. I thought, like, it definitely spoke of someone who was...
We never saw him succeed, I don't think, but he was pretty good at it.
we never saw him succeed, but he was good at it. You know, that's just proof right there.
He must be doing
a bloody dog.
Well. But then he goes back to Eli and says, look, McDonald's? Because he hasn't, like... Just Eat, like Chinese, because he's not done
Just Eat, they come to your house, they do. Deliveroo. Deliveroo. Yeah. You could get anything delivered to your house. And she's just like, not interested.
And then her belly like grumbles really loud, like mine does when I've not eaten. Like,
yours does when you've not had any blood.
Yeah. So then she goes out and she makes a right mess of this guy called Jock, who's one of the key people who live in that area. I think he'd been saying good night to one of the other guys, Lackey. They're all like a little clique, aren't they? Like in the estates.
Yeah, there's a little clique, but then there's like a recluse dude who we understand was probably a part of this clique at one point.
Yeah.
And his name's Gosta, and he sees the attack from his flat, and he comes out of his flat for the first time in bloody ages.
Yeah.
Now, he's been locked up there for a while, and he comes out to sort of tell all his mates. I've just seen Jock get bloody attacked. Oh, I don't keep doing this accent. I've just seen Jock get attacked by a child.
Is that your Swedish accent you're doing there?
I'm doing Swedish accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the Swedes come round and they're like, bloody heck. I don't even know what it is.
And then Hacken says, okay, I've got to go hide this body now because someone's going to find it.
These all sound like Street Fighter characters.
I know they do. Hacken goes out and he throws. Again, the way they do this is all a massive struggle. It's not like he's just easily doing this. It's like he has to carry the body somewhere, find a lake to sort of throw it into. As far as I know, the body's sort of safely dealt with for now.
It sounds like a lot of effort being a vampire's familiar, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
You can't just chill out and be a vampire's familiar. Oh, I'm gonna retire and become a vampire's familiar and have a nice chilled out time. You're bloody exerting yourself constantly every single day. You're doing a murder.
Yeah.
You're collecting all this blood. I mean, it's just too much.
He could have just been sat at home playing PS4, and then what's her name? Eli rocks up and says, "I made a mess outside. Can you?" And he's like,
"Fuck it out." Yeah. I nearly platinum trophied Uncharted 2 then, yeah. And I now got to come out and do this.
To save point.
Wait, what year is it set in again? I'm lost. I've just been playing the N64. No, that's 90s.
Gallagher or something. Space of it. Pong. I've just been playing Pong. I'm 2-0 up.
I'm 2-0 up on Pong, and there's no also save feature. Oh, I'll just die, will I?
You remember when there was no save feature? I remember like the first time I saw games I could save were the football games, and they sort of saved characters that you'd made and stuff like that. I was amazed at it. Okay. And then, so I think Hacken gets another shot at it soon. He goes to like a school or like a place where they train students to be people.
Yeah, I have just realized we have said that he's good at this, but then every time he does try to kill someone, get some blood, he fails real badly. But then he's been doing all right so far.
Yeah,
it's just this new area they've moved to.
I do think we should say Hacken asked Eli not to hang around with Oscar, and then he goes on this hunt and he packs like a little jar of what looks like urine but isn't in his little
bag. I was thinking at this point, just in case he gets thirsty, you know.
Yeah. But I feel like a part of this is like, I think he's sort of realised that she's moving on to someone new at this point, and he's sort of getting ready to finish his. So maybe this is why he's so bad at it now. He's like,
she's moving on to guys with better hair.
Yeah, she's gone on to blondes now. Yeah,
blondes have more fun, they say, and she's like, well, that's it.
Let's find out.
But yeah, it looks like he's taking this little jar, this little clear jar. This is his his out, or his, you know, things go wrong. If shit hits the fan, he's got this little jar of something.
So he goes to this. He basically gets a kid, not a kid. He's like a young adult. He looks about 18 or something. Strings him up in the lockers, but then the guy's friends turn up in the lockers, and he has to hide. He's basically fluffed it up again. He knows he's going to get caught, so he takes his finger of what I thought was piss, pours it over his face, and we find out it was actually acid.
Yeah,
I think the idea is so that the police don't recognize him or don't.
Yeah, trace. I think the idea is the police don't recognize him, but when we see him, it only looks like half of his face.
Full on Two-Face reveal. I was like, surely use that scene in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he pours it over the whole of his face. So when we see him with half a face. Yeah. Also, if they don't want to recognize him, the police just got hold up a mirror to his face. And they're like, oh, shoo, Hakan. Shit, just moved in, aren't you?
Yeah.
Just moved in.
Yeah.
I thought it was Harvey. Oh, it was old Harvey Dent then, yeah. Didn't I?
Yeah. What do you think of the effects of the acid face? I thought it was pretty good.
It was pretty good, but it's a bit OTT in it. It's one of those things. It's the same with Two-Face in The Dark Knight. You're like, there'd be a bandage on that, surely. It's just so...
Yeah.
I know Harvey Dent has like some ghouls on his face, doesn't he? At some point it comes off. But it just looks like such an open wound and like mouth hanging off and that. You'd think that wouldn't just be out, letting the air and the bacteria eat it away.
That's a good point. I mean, maybe it's just been cleaned or something. He's getting ready for... They have to like have regular baths, don't they, for burns and stuff. God. Like,
if I was gonna do something like that to my face, you'd just be like, end it all.
Yeah. Well, what's the name? So basically, he ends up in hospital, but I think he's kind of arrested for hanging people upside down. You're the guy who hangs people upside down for some reason. Yeah.
You're that guy, aren't you? Yeah, you upside down. You bloody perv.
Yeah.
Didn't you cut one of their throats as well? Nah.
No.
It might be someone else in my name, but it wasn't me.
Yeah. It looks like me, but it's like this, but twice.
He's like this, but twice, and I'm just this, but once.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, you know, that's not me.
I can say it's not me, yeah. So he's like, he's sort of in prison hospital. Eli rocks up and then I think they kind of say goodbye. I think they sort of know what's going to happen. Did she let us... She undoes his handcuffs or something. She kind of lets him out.
Yeah, she undoes his handcuffs, does she not? And then she...
I think so, yeah.
She climbs up to the window and then sits on the window ledge and he comes out and...
Jumps out.
Well, no, he lets her feed on him, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, so he feeds...
He just goes, this blood ain't going to be going to waste, love.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, I failed you.
Have you failed?
Yeah. And he falls out, smacks his head pretty hard on the... On the bin shed
that's out there. Yeah, I like that. I like the people falling effect.
Yeah, it's
or
good.
Or whether it's just people smacking their bonts on the old on the old shed. You know, that was good. I was like, ooh, his face has been half chloroform sulfuric acid.
Yeah.
And then he's just gone and whacked it on a shed, you know. I mean, he's in a bad way. He's dead.
Yeah. So then Eli goes to Oscar. Eli's now all alone now in her apartment. Just a little girl in the big town. Yeah. She goes to see Oscar.
There's a musical number at this point, isn't there? Oh, no, different film.
So she goes to see Oscar. I think Oscar says, do you want to go out with me or go steady or whatever the Swedish sort of version of that is.
Yeah. Do you want to go steady? She says, do you want to go steady? What? I've only had one beer. What are you saying? Go steady tonight. It's just a quiet one. Oh, I've only had one beer. I'll do what I want.
And Eli's like, I'm not a girl. At which point I thought it meant not a human, but realize, like, she's like, well, I think we find out, we confirm this later on, but she's not actually a girl. She's a boy, or was a boy.
What?
Yeah, because you've been like, we'll get more into it. But
did I miss this?
Yeah, I think you did. And I missed it as well. And well, I sort of thought, what is that? And then, like, reading the notes about it, and then realizing that that was the actual intention of the film. Like, she's actually a boy, like an androgynous boy.
Okay.
Who's been like castrated at some point.
Let's get to this. And you confirm when this is revealed, because maybe that passed me by somehow.
Okay. So Oscar's like, look, I don't care if you're a girl. I'm easy. And then I think there's
something going
out at that point.
It's the 1980s, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You can't tell what's going on.
Yeah.
Who cares?
They go ice skating. So Oscar, they've got like a little school trip to ice skating. The body that Hacken, he's messed it up again, hasn't he? Hacken. The body's there in the ice. They find it at the same time. The bullies are like telling Oscar to go for a swim or something. But he picks up, I don't even know what it is, like a red cane.
He picks up a really long, thin whippy stick.
You say that like that's a thing. What's a
whippy? It's like one of your
standard whippy stick.
Just one of them standard whippy sticks, Luke. You never had one growing up? Go ahead. It's just one of those sticks you like see out and about, and you pick it up, and it's like it's not big enough to throw. It's just like long and thin, like a twig, and you just use it as a whip, and you whip the back of someone's legs in a playful way.
Well, so the main bully guy,
it's a snooker cue, actually, isn't it?
Is it? So it is.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay, so Oscar like stands up for himself, whacks the guy in the ear. It splits his ear, and it looks like there's a lot of blood and stuff. I was actually rooting for Oscar, as violent as that was. I was still like the kids.
Yeah.
Kind of
oh yeah, definitely. Because I mean, he's one of those kids. I mean, he is a bit of a douche, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he would have got done for that, poor Oscar. But he was only defending himself. There was like three of them ready to chuck him in the freezing cold water, and he's like, "Don't come near me. I've got this whippy stick." And
yeah,
have it.
Oscar's like thinks he's the man now. Like he's full on riled up, and he goes, "Right, I'm going to take my new missus, Eli, and then we're going to go back to this little place that I know, and then we're going to cut each other's hands." So he goes, and I've never seen the appeal of this, where you go, you think you cut your hand, and you go, "Now you cut yours, and we'll mix blood." That's gross to me.
Yeah. Also, of all the things you could do when there's a vampire knocking about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Of all the things you could do, I mean, they could have a hug, they could have a high five, they could do a fist bump.
It's like
they could do a really complicated handshake, loads of stuff, and go, "Look, we're best buds now."
Yeah.
But no, blood bond, Oscar with a vampire who's hungry. Yeah. God's sake!
It's like opening a pack of Jaffa cakes and someone's on a diet. Like it's the same sort of look. Like they were not. She was not happy. Like she instantly like went all vampire-y. Blood dripped on the floor. He started, there's like, imagine the Jaffa cake crumbs are on the floor. The person that died goes, and then like starts like licking up the crumbs.
I lost 3 pounds on Weight Watchers this week, and you've just opened Jaffa cakes in front of me. You are so, you don't care, do you? Well, I'm eating them now. Oh, but is a Jaffa cake a cake or a biscuit? Oh, I don't care.
And then they hiss, and they sort of like.
Well, chocolate, there's chocolate stuck between their teeth.
Yeah. So then I think he tells him to get away, like, "Oh, I'm going to kill you," or something like that, I don't know. Something the vampire's saying, he sort of runs away. Or I think so.
And this was the weird bit. I noticed her face was different for the first time.
Yeah.
It was a bit where like it cut to him, and then it cut to her looking up from the blood she'd been licking from the floor. And she looked like shit, to be fair, didn't she? She's like...
Oh, so she's like, she's now seeing, like, she's full on, like, blood lusting, right? So she's full on vampire mode. This is when, I don't know why I assume this woman was like a bit of a slut. The blonde woman who goes out with Lackey or whatever his name is.
She seems like a lovely, wholesome lady. But for some reason, Luke has decided to tar her with the slut brush. Don't know why. Go and watch this film if you want. Make your own decision.
I don't know why I thought that. I thought for some reason that she slept around with like Lackey and Jockey.
She had male friends. That's what you had a problem with, wasn't it, Luke? She had male friends, and you were like, well, they cannot be male friends without it.
I've just realised there's something wrong with my viewpoint of the world. Like, I must have something like deeply wrong with me to assume that.
She appeared on screen, and you just went, slut.
Lipstick. Bloody slut.
Lipstick. Bloody tights.
Yeah.
Slut. What year is this?
So she unfortunately gets nibbled in the neck by Eli, who's out on the hunt. She survives though because Lackey turns up and like boots her off. Probably like just kicks her off like a dog who's trying to nibble at some chicken. Get off the
All right, so you kick a dog now. So you wouldn't kick a dog earlier, but if a dog's coming for your chicken, you're immediately kicking it.
Not even the chicken, just like the chicken giblets and like the extra bits, the offal.
Chicken
offal.
It's the offal. I'm seeing you in an entirely new light tonight, Luke.
Yeah.
Kicking
yeah.
dogs for chicken.
Slut shaming.
Slut shaming.
For people who
Jesus.
Haven't. Yeah. Yeah, no, our
listenership's going to go down or maybe even up because of your new fine badass persona. You're going to have a leather jacket on next week, aren't you?
Why not? Yeah. I'm going to grow Oscar's mullet. It's going to look a little bit different. I'm probably going to just grow it around the back here, though.
I'd like
come
that.
Out there. okay,
like
so she, the woman, I don't even know her name, but she...
Virginia.
She wakes up and like she's basically turned into a vampire. She can't touch like the sun and stuff.
She can't touch the sun.
No one can there, really, so it's not a big shame. No big loss.
What are you doing? I'm just trying to touch the sun. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, she hates the sun. She's like, she reacts to the sun in the same way you do to dogs who are after your chicken. Just like, get away. Don't like it.
She reacts to the sun in the same way cat reacts to the sun, and like when it's in the morning, like a Sunday morning. Like, if I open the curtains, and he has to like close and stuff.
There's a sun rise at, like on your like side of the house where you're sleeping.
Yes, it doesn't. It sets over there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's horrible. I want to like just turn the whole house around. I mean, I know it'd probably be to just sleep in a different room, but it's so annoying. It's like you go to sleep all lovely and snug.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a little bit of a chilly night, so you're just like, oh, got a bit of blanket up to bed. And then you wake up just cooking.
Yeah,
just
like, you can literally hear, like Virginia, you can hear like your skin sizzling. And you can see like the dust, sort of the motes of dust sort of caught in the
like that.
Yeah,
and that's good. What I'm all, that's I'm breathing that all in.
Yeah, I don't want to know, I don't mind I'm breathing that shit in, but I just don't want to know I'm breathing it in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And then when you pull up the blind and it all comes, it's 5 a.m. What's going on?
I poured myself a glass of like a mug of water the other day. It's like a black mug, and I looked in the water, and it was like a film of like oil on top. You know, when you get like petrol in the water, and it has like a bit of a rainbow thing. And I was like, that's weird. I can see that in this cup. So I poured the water into another mug, a white mug. I couldn't see it, so I was like, it's fine now.
Did you drink it? You drink it then?
It's always gonna be there. Like it's just the way the water is, but like I could see the oil or like whatever it was. It was
that's all the little microbes that the government
the fluoride
put into our the fluoride and put into our water.
My pineal gland.
Oh God!
Like that's what it does, right? It creates a crust around your pineal gland.
Yeah, crusty glands.
Yeah,
can't be helped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are we? Virginia.
So this vampire slut, right? She's in the hospital. She's in the hospital, and her matey boy comes in to say hello. Oh no! Wait, we've got
the
attack.
You missed the cats. Yeah.
Cat attack.
Yeah. This scene was I wasn't expecting this. It wasn't in the remake. No. She goes to the guy who has all the cats. She says I'm a bit ill, and the cats attack her. Like they're all CGI. You can tell the CGI, but I still kind of liked it. This kind of was kind
CGI,
of
but it was,
this bit
needs
to be
CGI,
in the
but
film.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, like it's a bit of a random thing to have in the film. Like
someone on the team was like going, "Oh, so Dave, who does the CGI, he ain't much to do so far, has he? He's done like Eli's eyes and that. He's like,
you're like a Photoshop action. He's got like the cat. I've downloaded a new cat button.
I'll shit off at doing the cats. If you want to have any scene where you've got cats in it, well, we'll write that. Get the script reading right.
Yeah,
cat scene, okay. Cats attack. Slut vampire. Tick.
Yeah. So it's great.
That's
then. And then she goes to the hospital. And I think at this point she knows she's a vampire, and she's like, I don't want to, I'm starting to get hungry for blood and stuff, and I don't want to do it. She asks, Lackey's there. What a name, Lackey. Lackey's there, lackey. And then he goes outside the hospital room, and then she asks the doctor to open the blinds. And I thought this bit was really fucking good. Like, when she bursts into flames.
Cool. I mean, it was cool. I mean, you see this so much in films, vampires. I mean, we saw it in, like, 30 Days a Night, where Josh Hartnett kind of just, like, crumbles away and sort of goes like, black. Yeah. And sort of other people that turn into dust or turn into ash. This was so much better. Because imagine that, like, you can imagine that was, that seems so much more realistic. I know, obviously, vampires don't exist, allegedly. but what a way for them to sort of just burst into flames. I mean, that just looked
It's good
visually. I mean, I love the way that was shot as well. We kind of saw it from one angle.
Yeah, it was a visual treat.
A visual treat, a treat for the eyes.
Yeah,
and secretly you were like
Jaffa cake.
Secretly, you were like, yes, she's dead.
Yes, damn, burn the slut, burn the witch. poor Virginia.
Poor Virginia. I mean, bless her.
She actually seemed quite relatively nice, actually, now I think about it.
Yeah, she was lovely.
Yeah.
She was lovely.
Okay, so now we're getting towards the end of the film. Eli goes to Oscar's flat, and he says, are you a vampire? And she says, you have to invite me in. But he doesn't actually invite her in. Doesn't he just, like, go like that? Like, did he have to say, come in? But she just comes in anyway, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, she has to say, come in, because she walks in without saying he can, and then she's like, bleeding from her eyes.
Oh, that's why. Oh, I wonder what the fuck was happening there. Yeah. But I did love that scene. I was like, so this is amazing. So she starts, like, bleeding from her eyes. Like, it has a close-up on the pores of her head, and the pores are, like, sort of seeping blood, and then she's bleeding all over. I think that's, like, one of the most visually, like, afterwards, especially when, like, she's still got the blood down her eyes and stuff. It's just visually amazing to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's quite an iconic image from the film. And when you see it, if you've seen that image before you watch the film, you're a bit like, oh, she's a vampire, so she's probably just killed someone and she's covered in blood. But for that to be the reason why she was covered in blood is pretty cool.
I think I missed that. That's such a good way to show.
Yeah.
So I wonder why he didn't actually invite her in.
And I think this was the bit where she said that she wasn't a girl, she was a boy who'd been castrated. That's right.
Well, I don't think she said that. Well, so she said, I'm a vampire, and then Oscar's like a little bit upset about it, like, well, that means you kill people. And then she says, well, you like to think about killing people, something along those lines of, like, I kill for, like, because to eat, but you want to kill because you're a bastard. That's, like, pretty much what she says. And then Oscar's and he gives her a hug, and he says, oh, be me for a while. She grabs his head, and this is a weird bit for me. So she grabs his head, and it's almost like there's something telepathic happening, like he's seeing her past life or something like that. And then it cuts to her, and she looks like a really old woman. Did you pick up on that? And then he says, okay, you can go put my mum's dress on. She goes in, and he has a peek, and then you can see she's actually like a castrated boy.
Oh, right. I don't know where I zoned out during that bit or something. But yeah, I missed that, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Well, I saw it and I was like, that looks weird. And then I didn't know that was actually what was happening until I read afterwards. And they're like, they made it out as if it was obvious that she was a boy, but I didn't pick up on it.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool little moment though, I guess.
Yeah, like, but I think the bleeding from the pores, like, and the eyes, I thought that was amazing. Okay, so. And then we've got, like, Lackey, who has lost everything because of Eli. He traces back to her apartment, but I don't remember how he did that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I can't remember exactly how he did it. But, yeah, basically finds
her. Super detective. Yeah, sniffs her out.
Lackey is basically Batman.
Yeah. and then he finds her asleep in the bath, and he's like, he's going to kill her. And then this is an important part, I think. Oscar goes up behind Lackey with his knife. He has the opportunity to kill him or stab him, but he chooses not to. And then she wakes up, probably the most brutal scene in the film. She mauls Lecky, the door closes, and then Lecky's dead. And then I think and then Eli says, I've got to go. And then we get the idea that, like, this whole end of the film, I thought it was, like, really amazing. So we get the idea that she's got to go, and this is, like, the end of their time together. Oscar's sort of chosen... Oscar had the opportunity to kill, and he's always sort of had these fantasies about killing people, but decided not to. And I thought that was him making the choice not to be her familiar. I thought that was him saying, I can't actually do... I can't actually kill people. It's not in me to do that. And then that's when she decides that she's going to go. And then he goes, but then he's like, I feel like it's him becoming sort of coming of age. He goes into his house and his mum's shouting at him. And there's all the toy cars on his bedroom wall, and they've all got the doors open and they're not ready for travel. They've got the boots open and stuff, and he closes them all and he gets them all ready for travel, as if like symbolically saying, I'm ready to move on now. I'm ready to leave my childhood or whatever. And then so we get the next scene, which is probably the best scene, with the swimming pool scene.
Yeah, this was pretty tense as well, I felt. This was pretty like, God.
Yeah. These sort of bully scenes are like, they always get to me. They always get to me. I was just reading Stephen King's It, and all the bully scenes in that were like more scary than the actual like killer, like the supernatural side of it. Yeah. But so what makes him go to the pool again?
Well, he's just at the pool, isn't he, Oscar? He's just at the pool doing his little aerobic thing, after school fitness thing. And obviously, the brother of the kid he'd hit with the stick and destroyed his old ear. They set a fire like outside the place, which distracts the teacher. So the teacher goes outside, and then the boy comes into the older brother comes into the pool area where Oscar's in the pool, and basically just tells him to forces him underwater, essentially hold his breath for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much get the idea that it's when bullying takes that step too far, or it's on the verge of taking that step too far, when they might actually kill him.
And like, well, also the younger brother is sort of like, come on, this is probably too much, even though his ears like mangled, even he's thinking. But obviously the sadistic older brother,
and I think that sort of adds to the tension, when you're thinking, if even they are scared, something bad's going to happen to Oscar here. And this is like, this is such a great way to shoot this section, where we've got Oscar underwater and all the violence and chaos is happening above.
Yeah. Again, a perfect example of like the scary thing is what you don't see, really.
Yeah.
And like, you don't really know what's happening.
There's that bit where like the feet get dragged across the pool.
Yeah.
And then a head just falls in. You're like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I'd love to see that. Obviously, you'd love to see it, but it'd probably look ridiculous. She can fly or something, or she's like,
yeah, exactly. There's some sort of supernatural craziness that, like, she turned into something. I don't know. And then like, this is where I think it should have ended. So he comes out of the pool, and then like, she's there, she's looking at him, her eyes are big and blue, and they're like staring at each other. And I feel like it gets to that point, and then it's basically saying, look, I can't be your familiar, I can't actually kill people, but Ellie's still going to be there to look after him in times of need.
And then
it cuts to like a snowy scene, and then it has another scene where it has Oscar leaving with her, which I kind of feel like invalidates some of the previous scenes. I feel like that should have ended there, because then we've got like Oscar becoming a man. He's not going to become a killer. He's not going to become a hacker. He's not going to end that way. But he's still going to have Ellie in his life in some way or another. That should have been the ending. I don't understand why they did this final scene.
Yeah, and it kind of undoes it. It kind of wanted to tie it up in a nice little neat bow where they're leaving together in a happy ending. So she's in a box beside him, safe from the sunlight, and they're sort of tapping on the box.
I bet the producer or director was like, he was worried that if he left it at that, it's a little bit of an ambiguous ending, because they don't know if she's back for good or anything. So we need to have
where are they going, and how could he leave without his parents? So, because obviously his mother we don't see very much, but we did see a few scenes of him and his father, which he seems to spend a little bit of time with.
And then there's we didn't talk about the father. There's his father, and then there's a weird guy who turns up every now and again who looks, it's like a big mustache and like hair. He looks like, hey guys, like he's always like the first male turns up. He looks like he wants to give people a massage too often.
And he loves having a drink. Yeah. And then Oscar's like, bloody hell, this again. Guy again.
Yeah. But I think that very last scene was a misstep. I think it should have ended, because it even cuts like this beautiful snow on black See, that should have been the credits. I don't understand why they did that last scene. But
yeah.
Hey, who am I?
Just a bearded dude. What are you gonna do? What you gotta do?
What you gotta do, Luke, is just when it gets to that end of the swimming pool scene, just turn it off.
Yeah, I did. Next time, I'm just gonna close my eyes.
No.
Oh,
then you open your eyes, it's just the credits. You go, well, that was a great ending. Yeah.
What did you think to the story overall?
It's pretty awesome, isn't it? I think is a sort of like gothic love story thing. It kind of works really well, but as a sort of genuinely quite a unique vampire tale while still sort of ticking all the boxes of the traditional stuff. I think it's great. Tension throughout, not always because of the vampires, often because of what's Oscar going to do, what are these bullies going to do to him. But I think it looks so good as well. I think just where it was set as well, it felt quite sort of closed off.
Yeah, it's kind of perfect. Every single step was perfect. Like the setting, the music, like the actors they got. It's done really, really well.
Yeah, I might go back and read the book again, actually, just to see if we get any more of the story in there, because obviously there are quite a few little ambiguous bits. It might be good to see if it gets cleared up.
Did that's what I was going to say. I completely blanked. I'm not a vampire fan. Like, I think they're kind of cool, I guess. Like, I like Blade as a film. I've never really been a big sort of vampire fan. There's only been like a couple of vampire films that have been like, oh, I can see the sort of appeal of vampires, because some people love vampires for some strange reason. And that'd be like 30 Days of Night, because vampires in that are genuinely scary, sort of horrific monster type things. And then this, I don't know what it is. I feel like it's just genuinely sort of creepy and sort of kind of like a gothic feel to it.
Yeah.
And I think this sort of made me realize this worked for me as a vampire story where most of us don't.
Yeah. Again, I think that's because what I've always already mentioned, what you don't see seems to be scary. So it's that sort of mystery, that sort of like fear of the unknown and everything that sort of happens in the shadows that sort of is the creepiness of this film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a masterpiece, man.
It's really good. Shitty pants moments or jump scares.
But when her face changed at any time, not shitty pants as such, but very, very unnerving.
Creeping in your pants.
I was like, what's going on? creeping in my pants?
Yeah.
I was creeping out.
Okay. I thought any time Ellie attacked or anything, it's good. I don't think there was any sort of jump scares in terms of like the classic sense of it, but it was scary enough anyway. Trivia, are you ready?
Come at me, bro.
Number one, the film was snapped up by Hollywood and remade into a film simply called Let Me In. There will also be a sequel slated to be called I'm Stuck, Let Me Out. And then a third film is on the cards, Change My Mind, Let Me Back In. The trilogy is, of course, based around the man with all the cats who can't decide if they want to go out or not. True or false?
I want it to be true, Luke. But
yeah, me too.
Unfortunately, it's false, isn't it?
I'm Stuck, Let Me Out has to come out. I'm going to
let me in. Let me in. Let me back out. Open the door. They're not there.
Yeah. Change my mind.
Where are you? Change my mind. Then you come in house, and they are in there. Had to get in.
Yeah. So number two, you were right about that. Number two, Let the Right One In is set in Sweden in the 1960s. Let Me In is set in the 1980s America.
That's not true.
No, it isn't. Because
I could have just said false, then that would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it?
That's not
the game is true or false. Not true, not false.
That's not true.
That's not good.
Okay. Number three, several tricks were used to create the right sound effects for some of the goriest scenes. Biting into sausages was used to replicate biting into skin and flesh. Drinking yogurt was used to sound like drinking blood. And the sound of children blinking was made by the skin of a grape rubbing against each other in almost blinking motion.
What? We really need to replicate the noise of children blinking. That was all true up until the children blinking, yeah?
It's all true, apparently. I don't understand the last one.
What?
The sound of children... This is what came off the website. The sound of children blinking was made by the skin of a grape rubbing against each other in an almost blinking motion.
Nobody
these like foley artists? Like, what's the job today? Well, can you recreate some children blinking? Well, I've got some kids here and they're going to blink really close to the microphone. Done. No, it didn't quite sound good enough. Skin of a grape. What on earth? That's like,
yeah, replicate
the sound of a man breathing.
It's a weird sort of behind the scenes team. You've got like the guy with a cat button on his Premiere Photoshop Pro who can do cats real good. We've got the guy who's got up some grapes and he says, that blinking's not loud enough.
Loud blinking. I've never seen someone go blink and gone,
yeah.
God, could have been louder.
Yeah. Okay, number four.
That was all true. It sounded true until that bit at the end, yeah. Which sounded like
absolute nonsense.
A condorism.
It did, yeah. Okay, number four. The cats in the attack scene were originally real cats that had to be replaced with CGI on account of the real ones spraying up the walls and singing "Everybody Wants to Be a Cat" during every take.
That's insane. You really draw me in with these. Yeah, you draw me in. And like, part of me is like, I want these things to be real. That was false again, wasn't it?
Yes. Okay, so it was decided that Lena Leanderson, a voice who plays Eli, should be replaced by a darker voice because the character of Eli was supposed to be an androgynous boy who'd been castrated. And Leanderson's voice was considered too delicate and feminine. So they like overdubbed her.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, because we've also, because on the cast list, there's a list saying someone's her voice, and then there's another cast saying someone played aged Eli.
Does it have who played her eyelid at all?
It says
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis ate nothing but grapes for Andy Serkis, real method actor, ate nothing but grapes for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In the build up to playing Eli's eyelids.
He played the grape that made the noise for Eli's eyelids.
Like, yeah. So he had to be cut in half. He had to experience being cut in half as a grape. Yeah. That's a really weird few sentences we just said.
Yeah, okay. We need to grade the film.
Yes.
From the A's to the F's.
What are we gonna give this?
I mean, judging by your past record, I'm going to guess you're going to go with a B-.
Oh, well, you think you know me, do you? You think you know
just
me that well?
Just going by Andy's
just going by the spreadsheet. Don't judge me by a spreadsheet, Luke.
Don't put me in a box, a cell.
Don't put me in a box and judge me as a spreadsheet like you judged poor
old
Virginia.
Don't put me in a column.
Don't put me in column A, column B. Get out of here, column. Don't judge me like you judged poor Virginia as a slut. That's just not on. I'm going to give this film a straight up A.
So I was going to give it an A, and then I realised that I was, because of my slut shaming, which shouldn't. I have no reason to do that, so I'm going to give it an A+ because of that. I'm actually going to give it an A+. I just think it's. This one and The Skin I Live In. What grade did I give The Skin I Live In?
Have you given anything an A+ so far?
No.
This is my first one. Have I given anything an A+ so far?
No. The highest you've given is an A. You gave an A for Kill List and an A for the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
The highest I gave was an A-, and I've given A- quite a few times. Poltergeist, Skin I Live In, Drag Me to Hell. Oh, that's good. I gave an A- to Cat People. I think I just take that down a bit. A- to Get Out.
You can't go back on it.
I changed that to
you're really loving Cat People that weekend.
Yeah, it must have been. Okay. A+. I think this is my first A+. I mean, this is I think this is also kind of overlooked as a horror film. Like, this is the kind of film that if someone says, oh, I don't like horror movies, I would play them this because it's so good. It's not like, it takes like general horror tropes that makes them real and it has like an actual story, like an actual character relationship. And yeah, this is a fantastic film.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. If you listened to this podcast and ruined the film as we talk about every plot point meticulously.
Oh yeah, the spoilers, by the way.
Then we definitely...
I think we started. I think we maybe gave spoiler warnings once or twice in this series.
I think on like the 10th episode, and this is the 21st episode or something.
And at the end of the 21st episode, we gave a spoiler warning. So if you've got this far and been spoiled, then you know that's a shame, and we're sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But yeah, go and watch the film if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
because you get to see a lot of good stuff.
I think I might want to watch it again. I might want to watch Let Me In next, just to sort of.
Yeah, I think I want to watch Let Me In.
Yeah.
Okay. And Let Me Out. Or whatever, isn't it?
I'm stuck, Let Me Out.
I'm stuck.
Yeah. Okay, so next week we are talking about The Innocents, which is like a black and white. I've never seen it. I don't have a clue what it's about. It's got a creepy looking kid on the front, on the image, so we'll see what that's about. And then after that, it's It Follows, which I'm really looking forward to.
Ooh, It Follows. There's a film coming out soon as well called It Comes at Night with Joel Edgerton. Which
is another
I believe
of his like low budget but good films, because he did a Gift, The Gift or something that's quite good as well.
Yeah, The Gift. The Gift? Was it The Gift? Yeah, it might have been The Gift.
Yeah, and it was like a DVD.
Yeah. This looks pretty cool. So I think this comes out soon. So if we can get hold of it or somehow, we might be able to do an episode on it because it looks good. This is like there's a threat out in the woods and we're staying in this little shack and we can't leave this shack at night because there's a threat.
Yeah, we should do an honorary mention again at some point.
Maybe
like The Fly. I think that's like the highest rated in the group.
Yeah, I think The Fly and Misery were two that aren't on the list. It might be a good shout to do.
Apparently, the Misery book is a lot more gruesome than the film.
Oh,
yeah, I want to read it at some point.
We are we're smashing through this list, so let's do a few more and then we'll do an honorary mention.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So this show is brought to you by the Story Studio, Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Join the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors, where we talk about horror films. I think we've been talking about favorite Clive Barker adaptations, favorite Jason films, and like in what order and that kind of thing. Come and join the group there. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving a 5-star rating and reviewing iTunes, and remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thanks. Thank you, Luke. You're also a real horror dude.
A right horrible dude. Cool.
Horror dude? I didn't call you a horrible dude, mate. I would never do that. I would never call you a name just based on the way you look.
See ya.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.